Thank you. Today, I'm going to read a passage that, of course, in the gospel, many of you are familiar, is with the resurrection of Jesus. So let me take you to the gospel of Luke chapter 24. And I'll read for us the first 10 verses. Luke 24, verses 1 to 10. This is the reading of God's word. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how we told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Thus ends the reading of God's word. It is said that Christmas and Easter seem to have lost much of their significance these days. The world has replaced them with Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. And sadly, not only in the world, but even among many Christians, Christ is rarely seen or heard. Let me share how I see the world's way is reigning over our hearts instead of Jesus. On Christmas, we enjoy far more to receive gifts from Santa than to give gifts, because Christ has taught us it is better to give than to receive, hasn't he? Ask your children what they enjoy more, to get gifts or to give gifts. There, you will find the answer what you are feeding your children with. As for Easter, the Easter bunny and the chocolates and the painted eggs find the hearts of children much more easily than the passion of Christ for us, doesn't it? Friends, we're substituting the greatness of our God with bunnies and Santas. Dear adults, may I lovingly rebuke. As many of you know, children education is best caught than taught. Yes, teach our children with many words the beauty of God's truth and grace. But more than with words, let the children catch the beauty of God's truth and grace with our lives, so they can see and hear what you say is powerful and real in your lives, which would hopefully also translate unto the lives of our children. So let's teach and show them. Christ came to give up his life for us, so we also should delight to offer up our lives for him and serve as he served us. Let's teach and show them the agony of the cross as we fast, and the wonder of his resurrection as we worship our God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength and joy and preparation and devotion. Let them catch in our lives what we teach with our words. Here in our passage, actually the previous chapter in Luke chapter 23, the latter verses in 50 to 56, we see the woman observe where Joseph laid Jesus' body. With heavy hearts, they went home on Friday to prepare spices and fragrant oils to offer their final devotion for their departed Lord. As law-observing Jews, on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, in obedience to God's teaching, they stayed home. Then, when the first available opportunity came, that is early Sunday morning, they rushed to the tomb to pay the last respect, as we see here in chapter 24, verse 1. They were preparing to embalm Jesus' body and see him the last time, so they thought. The Messiah who was so compassionate, who was so gentle, who welcomed everyone, even the people despised and rejected by everyone else. He was killed. He was dead and laid in that tomb. How sad, how painful, how heavy-hearted they must have been as they made this final trek to where Jesus' body was laid. Before they were able to believe on the resurrection, they only saw Jesus from among the dead. I mean, what else could they do? As David said, the child, the dead child cannot return to him. Only he could join his son when he also died. Their life experience determined how to view Jesus. And for them, they clearly saw he was killed, buried in the tomb. For this woman clearly saw his dead body with their own eyes. Their perception of Jesus rested on their sight. That's what life is, isn't it? Once dead, that's it. Could it be that we also perceive Jesus only from our own experiences and understanding? Perhaps many of us, many of you, doubt him because in your past experience, God has not answered your prayer the way you would hope he would. Perhaps some of us are lacking confidence in our God because in the past we asked that our hearts be filled with love only to have unlovable people make us more angry and depressed. Perhaps we asked for something in the past, but nothing happened. So that's the way we think about our God. Nothing. What's been your experiences with God? What's the picture of God you behold? May I help us today to paint a new picture of our God from our passage? May I help us to see how God radically changed the lives of this woman, and also ours as well. Remember when this woman came to the tomb, the picture of their God was that he was dead. He was laid and buried in the tomb. Have you noticed the difference of the picture of the cross from the Catholics to the Protestant Christians? The picture of the cross for the Catholics is Jesus is still nailed on the cross. So their picture of Jesus is he's killed, dead. Meanwhile, for the Protestant Christians, the picture of the cross, as you see here, is an empty cross. In other words, Jesus is no longer here because we see him as the resurrected Savior. Meaning for us Christians, we see Jesus as alive. He's not dead. He has risen. He is risen. Returning to the woman, we're going to see Jesus at the tomb. Their picture of Jesus was that he was killed on that cross. They're going to the tomb to remember, to send him with love and pay their last respect because to them, as far as they knew, he was still dead. But to their Messiah, who they went to meet in that tomb when they arrived, he was no longer there. It was an empty tomb because it is an empty cross. He's not the God of the dead, but he is truly the God of the living. He's not the God who can suffer, stand merely at the suffering of his son and has no power to do anything. That's not God. Our God is a God who can make the impossible become real in him. He is the God who blesses our faith to be caught and not just taught. He is the God who brings eternity into our reality and opens our eyes of faith to see the realness of God's everlasting kingdom while we're still dwelling in this world in the flesh. Remember, just the day earlier, this woman had lost all hope because they only saw their Messiah as dead, as buried in the tomb. But what they could not believe or imagine just the day earlier, now on Sunday morning, they were so sure of their belief that before the apostles ever became witnesses to the whole nations, this woman were sent as witnesses first to the apostles. Did you hear? Before the apostles became witnesses, bold, courageous before the world, God first sent this woman to witness to those apostles. Wait, wait 1 minute. This woman did not see Jesus' resurrected body yet, as far as we know in our passage. So what made their faith so sure that they did not even need to see Jesus resurrected with their own eyes? And the answer is, when the angels repeated the words of Jesus, aha, they remember his words. Let me take you to Luke chapter 24, verse 5 through 8. He says, this is the angels talking to this woman. Why do you look for the living among the dead? What a question, isn't it? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. End of quote. And I love the following sentence. Then they remember his words. Then they remember his words. See, the word of God was sufficient. It was more than enough for this woman to believe because they remembered Jesus' word. Because they placed their faith in Christ's word, their eyes of faith were open to see the eternal world of our God. Because they believed the word of God, they were able to believe that Jesus has risen. He has done what nothing can ever be done in this world. He has done the impossible. The world says you cannot come back from death. That may be the word. But he has risen. Truly risen. You know, this woman, they could have just as easily said what Thomas confessed. They could have just easily said, unless we touch him, unless we see him with our own eyes, unless we feel him and hear him, unless we see him rise, walk, talk like a real live person should, they could have said, we won't believe that he has risen. Remember, most people cling on to what they saw, and the reason why this woman came to the tomb was precisely because they remember Jesus was killed. He died. It was laid in the tomb. Dead. Friends, brothers and sisters, could it be that many of us look for Jesus among the dead as well? When you come to the worship, do you come expecting to meet the living and holy and majestic creator of the universe, God Almighty himself? When you sing praises to our God, does your heart overflow with joy and love and gratitude too great to express simply with words before the living God? When you pray to our God, do you weep for your sins because Jesus paid such a costly price for them? Do you pray in faith because you trust that your God is attentively, compassionately listening to your every cry, to your every plea, to your every care? When you are sitting and hearing God's word preached, Do you hear God speaking through His servant? His living and truthful words overflowing with His grace? Brothers and sisters, might we be as wrong as this woman who have come to simply pay the last respect to a dead Messiah? If that's the case, I have news for you. Great news. The good news. Jesus is not dead. Yes, He was killed, but He is risen. That is why He's not among the dead. He is risen. He is alive. And if Jesus is alive, then we will see that His resurrection proves that He's the Almighty God, victor over death, deliverer over sin, and conqueror over the world. If Jesus is alive and risen, then we can believe everything needed for our salvation. He accomplished it perfectly. Remember those three words from John 19:30? It is finished. The work of redemption for you. Whatever He needed to do to save His people, you. He says, it is finished. Most powerful, incredible, perfect words, are they not? If we see Jesus as risen, then we will see that He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. You know what He's doing there? Drinking, I was going to say margarita, but they don't drink margaritas in heaven. Drinking Kool-Aid, apple juice, probably something better. Is that what He's doing sitting at the right hand of the Father? Maybe He drinks an occasional gulp of water. You know what He's doing? Sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Son is interceding for His children, for you. People of God, do you understand? Your God never stops to pray for you. You know what that means? Your God prays for you more than you ever pray for yourself. I love it. But you and I are faithless sometimes. But you and I are dumb sometimes. He isn't. If Jesus is risen, then He'll return for His people to accept us as His beloved bride. And do you know what He calls His bride? Repeat after me. Hephzibah. You just learned a Hebrew word, my friends. Hephzibah. You know what that means? In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4, that word means, my delight is in her. My delight is in her, His bride. Let me get personal here to you ladies. Ladies, aren't you frustrated that your husband doesn't love you more and delight in you more? Amen, sisters? Oh, man, we are very conditional. I love my wife to death. But I'm conditional. I don't always love her unconditionally. That ain't me. Humans don't do that. But folks, that will never be the problem with Jesus, your true and eternal bridegroom, because His delight is in you. Is in you. Remember what He calls you? What was the word? Hephzibah. My delight is in her. That's the way Jesus loves His bride, His people. No wonder we're so in love with Him. If Jesus is risen as the first fruit of the resurrection, then we too will be resurrected to an eternal life with Him in His perfect love and joy and peace-filled kingdom. All of these incredible promises we can begin to enjoy when we see that Jesus no longer dwells among the dead, but he's alive, for he has risen from the dead. Let me wrap up this message today. We see the transformation of this woman from mourners to joyful witnesses. They arrive at the tomb, grieving and in sorrow, dutifully trying to pay the last respect. But when the words of Christ transformed them, they excitedly became witnesses, even to the apostles themselves. Have you also met this resurrected Jesus in his word? He's no longer dead. Nothing is the same anymore. Nothing. Can there be a greater miracle than the resurrection from the dead? In other words, if Christ is resurrected from the dead, then he has opened the door of miracles to our lives. If our lives had miracles, how vastly different would it be? Follow me here, my final conclusion. The struggles we have, the barrenness that we might feel sometimes in life, and the trouble, the overwhelming painful afflictions that we experience. Can we see our God performing a miracle in our midst and changing them drastically? Imagine what an incredible life that will be. A life with miracles. Can I be so blunt with you? I think God's people, God's children, you, me, we expect far too little from our God. Especially like today, we talk about the resurrection, this miracle, and then of course, what do we expect? We expect and anticipate so little. A life with miracles. Do you know the greater miracle? It's not the transformation of a situation, but the transformation of a person's heart. Can you see our God transforming us? Transforming him, transforming her, to make each of us the kind of person that truly brings pleasure to our God. In Jesus' resurrection, he does and can bring a new heart. A heart that loves the people who may not be deserving. A heart that can forgive the people who has wronged us. A heart that rejoices more for God's glory than my own well-being. There is one more miracle I would like for us to behold. And I believe this is the greatest miracle of all. If we see the risen Jesus, then we know our lives do not end sadly with our funeral, but we will live on for all eternity, tasting and rejoicing the goodness of our God in his kingdom forever and ever. Today, when we baptize baby Claire Nayong Stazak, if I pronounced it correctly, Stazak, we'll be witnessing by faith the greatest miracle God gives us. Baby Claire was born with the nature of her sinful parents. But just like her parents were bought and made new in Jesus, so baby Claire will be receiving water on her head, symbolizing that all of her sins are cleansed, forgiven, completely and eternally. Because Jesus died on the cross for her sin and has risen back to life. So while her passport will say U.S. citizen, her true and permanent citizenship will be in heaven with Jesus and all of his angels and all God's people, including her parents and the two sets of grandparents as well. So today, as we baptize this baby, we'll be celebrating God's new life for Claire. Today, in other words, is Claire Nayong Stazak's spiritual birthday. Mom and Dad, Mike and Marie, can I encourage you to celebrate two birthdays all the days of Claire's life? On December 25th, celebrate her physical birth. On April 9th, celebrate her spiritual birthday. Folks, did you catch the dates? Some of you were attentive. Others of you are just numb. Did you hear? Claire was born on Christmas Day. Huh. Baptized on Easter Day. How unreal is that? Yeah. Show me another person who's got those dates. None of you. Myself included. Oh, Lord. Folks, we do not worship of God who has died and remained in the grave. No. Our God lives because he has risen from the dead, and he cannot be found among the dead any longer. So do not look for the living one among the dead of this world, for Christ has risen and is sitting at the right hand of the glorious Father even now. So let's learn to live our lives with the living one, reflecting Christ's beauty and goodness in this world. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how excited we are, how thankful we are, how we rejoice in what you have done and you will show us today, even as we baptize. What? Poured a little water on our head, and yet that water will take us to Calvary. Will take us to see the blood you shed from the cross, that blood which cleanses and forgives all of our sins. What a great, greatest miracle you will give to this baby, to mom and dad, but you have done that for all of us. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are the miracle worker. So, Heavenly Father, as your people living in this dark, difficult world, may we now be your witnesses to proclaim to our neighbors and friends who are shackled and bound by the misery and afflictions of life. May we show them what a miracle looks like. And may we, Lord, teach them that it is only Jesus who brings this miracle. He who was crucified has risen on this day. We thank you so much. And we pray all these things in Christ's beautiful name. Amen.